If you are sitting at home next to your radio, you're hearing the music faster than you are if you're in the hall.
Listening for the secret, searching for the sound. This is the Sound Podcast with Ira Haberman.
Wanted to let you know that the Sound Stream is now available exclusively on the Sound app. You can now listen 24/7 to a music stream featuring jam bands and more, much more. So not just what you'd expect, but a few surprises along the way too. Curated by the Sound Media team, the stream offers up your favorite songs by your favorite bands and artists, both live and in the studio. We'll also be adding specialty programming and much more. So get it today and listen wherever you want for free. Get the app for iOS and Android by searching for The Sound Podcast and Stream or at app.thesoundmedia.com. Just hit the orange button, press play, and boogie on. The show starts now.
Step out in the light of the morning. Pour out the bottle of emotions. Are gone, gone, gone.
All the days I could run to my mother, she always told me, if you carry the weight of the world on your shoulder, you'll go down, down, down.
Down with the sunshine into the darkness, coming so fast as it's falling. Over and over. Like a wildfire burning, smoking and rolling up so many papers. Are gone, gone, gone.
With the wind is high in the country, roads far away from the city. Tripping too long and the days dragging on. And you're down, down, down.
Down, I'm a lucky charm to elude you. No pot of gold in snow.
You've been listening to Dawn from Fruition off their forthcoming record, Broken at the Break of Day. It feels like I just spoke to Mimi Naja from Fruition about the release of Wild as the Night. Turns out my memory is spot on because we spoke to her November 8th. At the time, I thought the record was one of the best of 2019 and kind of left things at that. Well, we were all surprised, I think, except obviously Mimi and the rest of Fruition, that the band intended on releasing a companion album, Broken at the Break of Day, January 17th. Should have known because Mimi was quite coy with us, and even their manager mentioned to me that more great tunes were in store. Well, I've listened to Broken at the Break of Day, and I can honestly tell you it picks up where Wild as the Night left off. And it may be even better than the first side, depending on your taste, I suppose. It also feels like between these two records, and more specifically on Broken at the Break of Day, Fruition has cracked the code as to what their sound is and what we can expect moving forward. I had a chance to catch up with Kellen Asbrook to delve deeper, offer some congratulations, and much more when we chatted last week. Our conversation started when I suggested that Broken at the Break of Day may have surpassed Wild as the Night.
Wow, man. Damn. And you had such nice things to say about Wild as the Night. That's really saying something.
Well, I did say at the time that I thought Wild as the Night was one of the best records of 2019. And I know that Broken at the Break of Day is early on in 2020. But so far, from the albums I've heard this year, it's right up there. Now, did you guys all along record these songs and sort of think about it being this concept record with a side A and a side B?
Yes, totally. We weren't able to talk about it because, like, you know, we wanted to keep releases and concepts a little secret in the process. But yeah, early last year, we were trying to mix up our release strategy just because the classic album cycle model has changed so much, and we wanted to do like some kind of concept thing, like release two things, like two EPs that would end up being on one vinyl. And we hadn't decided on what the concept was, but eventually we started going into like light and dark, which eventually got into night and day. And then some songs were written specifically for each release. Some songs were just songs that kind of ended up fitting thematically. Sometimes it's a fact, but most of them fit in thematically with either the night or the day theme. Yeah, it was conceptualized, which is a first for us.
What else was a first for you is how quickly, I mean, you have this idea of doing a concept record album, which kudos to you in a day when, like you say, albums aren't necessarily released the way that they were, you know, even 15 years ago. It all came together pretty quickly, like on some time off that you were able to get all this down, right?
Yeah, actually, both of the albums, each one was recorded in a different studio. Both were recorded like in the middle of the tour. Like the Wild as the Night was recorded at Silo Studios in Denver, like when we had a little time off on tour. And then the accompanying Broken at the Break of Day was recorded in our drummer Tyler Thompson's basement, who's also a great engineer, as you can hear from the record.
Yeah.
And also, yeah, we had like super limited time. And so it kind of forced us to hit it and just like make sure we practice going into it and then fucking nail it and then, you know, get it as good as it can get and set it free instead of like really going over and over and spending weeks and whatever. It's like, all right, let's just put this thing out and not think about it too much.
How do these songs come together? Because you don't have a lot of time. And because you are all writing songs, how do you decide what songs are going to go and what songs you're going to use and all of that? Like, how do you do that so fast?
Well, that part isn't that fast. When we first started talking about the concept, me and Jay flew out to Mimi's. Shouldn't have been more of a Mimi's house in Asheville, North Carolina, and we actually did a writing session, which is something we've never done before. It was completely foreign to us, but got together and threw around ideas we already had, you know, voice memos from your phone, licks that you had that you hadn't completed, or full songs, and just kind of like bouncing ideas off of each other, which was incredibly helpful. Several of the songs from that session ended up on each record. But yeah, I mean, honestly, I got to hand a lot of it to Jay. He has so many songs, as you can tell from listening to the album, he kind of dominates the track list. And thank God, like, fucking dope songs. yeah, I don't know. I don't know if I answered your question just now. I forgot.
No, I get it. Like, yeah, so Jay has a lot of these songs. He brings them to the table, and then you figure out, you know, the harmonies. You figure out, obviously, Jay takes the lead in a lot of the ones that he wrote. Which makes a lot of sense. Counting the Days, I mean, is there a better vocal performance from Mimi ever?
So smooth. And that's actually a super old tune. That's a song that she wrote probably 5-6 years ago that we had tossed around for other albums and never really found a home and never really like found its legs. And then when we were sitting around trying to decide what was going to go on the record, we floated that idea and tried it out in the studio. Yeah, that one turned out real peaceful, easy feeling on that one.
Yeah, it's absolutely gorgeous. You know, this is, I think I counted, it's the 10th release, including EPs and albums. That's a lot of music to put out in you know what, a short amount of time, like 11 years maybe?
About 11 years. Yeah, 12 years.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is a lot.
It's a lot of music, and it's a lot of diverse music. And, you know, you have your, you each have your solo projects too. I mean, how do you keep doing it? I mean, you're on the road, you tour extensively. How do you find the time to do all of this and do it so well?
Well, I mean, a lot of the quality of the songwriting, I mean, not, I don't say a lot, but a good portion, is luck. We got really lucky in meeting each other as songwriters and as singers, that our voices clicked so naturally, and that we are compassionate, empathetic, sympathetic human beings that have emotions and feelings and need to write those feelings down, and they turn into songs. And so, yeah, in that aspect, hopefully you just never stop feeling, and then as such, hopefully you never stop writing. There's no signs of stopping. And with each release, you kind of can reflect on what you've done in the past and try and improve on it, or try and mix it up, try and write something like you've never written before. We've gotten more and more, taking more risks with our sound, and I think it's paying off.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, it is, you've come leaps and bounds from the first stuff that you put out compared to now, in terms of quality of production, in terms of the harmonies. I mean, it's pretty impressive how it just, you immediately know that you're listening to a Fruition record because of the different voices in this band at this point. I mean, that's a luxury not a lot of bands have, right?
It blows my mind sometimes that we can pull it off. Because I think we could have easily been a band that like tried having three different songwriters and three different lead singers, and it would just come off as disjointed and not cohesive, and it'd be like, okay, wait, is this the same band or what? But it always tends to sound like us, regardless of who's singing, which I don't really understand how that works, but it works.
Yeah, it works very effectively for you guys. The one thing that I did notice at Broken at the Break of Day is the production. So aside from the songs like At the End of the Day and Dawn and Where Can I Turn and Counting the Days, aside from the songs being timeless, the sonic interpretation, and I guess that Tyler had a lot to do with that, is timeless.
Yeah.
It does sound like a 60s record, like a late 60s record or an early 70s record. Was that on purpose too? Was that on purpose too?
Yeah, I mean, God, that's when they really started dialing in how to use the studio to your advantage. And before they started dialing in how to overuse the studio to your advantage, it's kind of that time era. And we learned a lot. Tyler specifically learned a ton from working with Tucker Martin on Watching It All Fall Apart. Because that's Tucker's whole approach, is like, how can we go as analog and as warm and as real and as live as possible, and then also employ, you know, modern technology to like really make that old shit shine, you know, just right. And Tyler learned so much from being in the studio with Tucker, and so did we, just as far as the recording process and how to approach songs and to try and play as live as possible and then as few overdubs as possible, because it sounds like a band playing in the studio instead of just like a bunch of different tracks compiled.
Totally. So this was recorded off the floor into Pro Tools or whatever, and yep. then with minimal overdubbing, I would assume. Maybe the vocals a little uh-huh. bit here and there, right? Is that accurate?
Yeah, usually it's like the whole band records the track together, and if we can, if we can get the isolation, the lead singer also records the lead vocal, but oftentimes we just do the instrumental, and then we'll come back and do the harmonies. And then just kind of like comp in any like major mistakes, or someone wants to do a solo that they couldn't really pull off live in the moment. But yeah, you pretty much nailed it.
It's a fascinating record, and it takes so many different turns. And I actually listened to the record. I think I listened to the record not as its track, not as its sequence, which is a whole other
uh-huh.
discussion.
Which is good. It totally is, because it went through a lot of different iterations of the sequence. I'm still not even set on it. I go back and forth on how it should have gone down, but I like what we came up with.
Right, with Dawn leading the way, and at the end of the day, the last track. Is that exactly
yeah.
how you see it? Right.
I love the Dawn starting it out, but I also heard, I don't remember what we ended up calling it, the round and round one. Like, I could hear that being the start of the record. I could hear Do What You Want being the start of the record with the feedback, and kind of hooks you in immediately. But Dawn is such a wholesome, and like it grabs you in a way that a lot of our records, I mean, you usually try and start a record with something that piques people's interest, but I think that's my favorite start to a record that we've ever had.
Well, you all trade lead vocals on Dawn, which also makes it such a great introduction for people that may never have heard of you guys. It really
yeah.
gives people a great introduction to what you're all about, right?
And it's something we've never done, which is mind-blowing, that we're just now starting to get into that territory of co-writing and swapping vocals like that, because I love that shit. Oh, my God. And it's so fun to do. It's so interactive and playful and engaging. For the people doing it and for the people listening to it, apparently.
Do What You Want is the most electrifying rock moment on the record. And
agreed.
And you guys are always pushing the boundaries in terms of who you are as a band. And you know, I've stopped pigeonholing you guys a long time ago because it doesn't, frankly, it doesn't fucking matter what box you fit in, as long as you're making good music. But it is the rockiest moment on the record. Is that a chance that you guys are willing to take more and more now, exploring kind of your rock side of things?
Fuck yeah. I mean, that's the funnest thing to do, is rock out. And we rock out live, like, regardless of the tune, for the most part, we go for it live. So that's the kind of song that like finally carries that vibe of like how much we love rock and roll. And that one came from a jam session and a writing session a couple of years ago that we did in Colorado, and weren't sure what was going to come from it. But it was just like, it all came from that like weird feedback, palm mute, rhythmic thing that Jay's doing.
Right.
Boom, bam, boom, boom, bam. Like, it was just like, wait, that's actually really fucking cool. Let's make something like that. And yeah, it's one of my favorite tunes.
You know, a throwback to Nothing More Than Spinning. It's interesting because it's a folk tune, but it could easily fit on any number of 70s bands playlists. And I think of Queen because of the vocal performance, I think, more than anything. But I mean, all of these songs really are throwbacks to great albums or great singer-songwriters, or, you know, a time that has left us behind. And I don't know what you guys are listening to, but that's the sense I get. The sense I get is that you guys carry old records around, or at least spend the time to properly listen to some of these old records.
Yeah, absolutely. You nailed it. That's totally true.
The last song on the record is, I think, the best song you've written to date. And I don't know who gets the entire songwriting credit for that, if it's a if it's a co-write.
It's a full co-write between the three of us songwriters.
It is your best work to date as a band, period. Between the
Thank you, man.
Between
that gives me chills.
Between the the song gives me chills. Between the songwriting and the playing and the harmonies, for me, when I first heard it, it wasn't at the end of the record, and I wondered about that. But I'm so glad that you've bookended this record with Dawn and At the End of the Day, because to me, it is where you guys are at as a band. Those two songs are kind of where you guys are at as a band now. And
I agree.
It is so great that I think you've found, like, you've hit it. Like, you've finally decoded the fruition, you know, the fruition path at some point, because you've been trying all of these things. But to me, Dawn and At the End of the Day are just the two songs that are in the pocket the most, right?
And yeah, I've been like thinking on that for a long time now. Of like we're good, and we have such a dedicated fan base, and I love our records that we put out, and I believe in this band so much. But yeah, I feel like we've always been trying to get to that, find that sweet spot, and find, like you said, decode the fruition sound. And I think so much of it, and both of the songs that you just mentioned are like two of our first co-writes. And like, it's like that, it makes sense that we'd be greater than the sum of our parts, which we always have been, but we haven't incorporated that into songwriting per se. And now that we're finally doing that, I think that like we're finally cracking open what's going to be amazing, amazing shit in the future.
It's so true. I mean, I think, you know, all your hard work leading up to this in the dozen years that you've been together and putting out music, it takes time. It probably takes time to really understand one another and really understand where this band is headed. And I think both sides of the record, but probably more Broken at the Break of Day, you've finally decoded. You've cracked the code to what fruition can be.
Yeah. Yeah, we're really realizing our potential, which is amazing that 12 years into it, most bands don't last that long in the first place, and we're like, fuck, I feel like we're just getting started.
So is this a dawn of a new era kind of for you guys? Excuse the pun.
I see you. You're excused this time. at least it wasn't a fruition. At least you didn't do a fruition.
Right, I didn't say that. I could have said, so it's the dawn of, a fruition. I'm not going to leave it at one, cool. Not two, all right?
Yeah.
I'm not that intelligent.
I would say that it's the dawn of a new era of fruition. We're older now and wiser in a lot of ways. We're more confident in who we are as individuals and as a band. We know what we want, and we are finally understanding how to go about getting it. Two of our band members are engaged. So like that whole aspect of like adulthood and moving forward into the future and how to do this all right is starting to take shape. And we take it really seriously, and it's on, baby.
Well, you hit the road here coming up. I mean, you're going to be on the road. And that's it. I mean, you guys are back on the road for a while again. And the thought of playing, how exciting is it that you're going to be playing these new tunes for a fan base that is excited to hear new music from fruition?
Yeah. I'm stoked. It's so much new material, because in the time they've actually released these channels, Broken the Break of Days, and now for a few more days still, but I'm sure we'll be by the time this podcast is out.
Yeah.
In the time that it's been since we released, we haven't been playing much. We released Wildest Night in November, and it was kind of right on the tail of the tour.
Mm-hmm.
And we haven't played any shows besides our little New Year's run since. So yeah, we're going to start this tour and have, 13 new songs that we get to play for people that mostly haven't heard them yet, or have only listened to the record. And yeah, that's exciting. It's always exciting to get to play new material. That's like what makes you, keeps you alive on tour, honestly, is keeping it fresh.
There are so many changes.
Yeah. Hopefully it's bringing in more people. You know, I want to make our fan base happy, but I want it to grow. And I think these songs, like you said, especially Broken at the Break of Day, I think they have the potential to kind of hit some people's ears that either haven't heard us or like haven't opened up to really hearing us in the past. Hopefully this turns some heads.
Yeah, I think the live experience when you bring these songs out on the stage and people actually see, you know, the three-part harmonies or even just Mimi plucking away and playing Counting the Days. I mean, these are just amazing songs that fit into a set that I imagine will include some of the older stuff, but with a focus on some of these newer songs as well, right?
Definitely. Definitely. And we started getting into that on this the run we did at the end of 2019. Because at this point, like you said, 10 releases in the last 11 or 12 years, like that's a pretty wide breadth to be able to choose from. And so we're trying to make our set list now be comprehensive of that catalog. But yeah, it's definitely going to focus on the new stuff. But we don't want to, like, you know, people come to the show to hear their favorite songs too. So, you know, you gotta mix it up.
Totally. Well, I'm so excited for what 2020 brings for you guys, because I know...
Me too.
I have a funny feeling that we haven't heard the last of new music from Fruition this year. And I have a sneaking suspicion that 2020 is going to be a great year. So kudos on Wild as the Night to close out 2019 and Broken of the at the Break of Day to open up 2020 here. And good luck to you guys. I mean, you know that you've got at least one guy in Canada rooting for you. Whenever I can see you stateside, I definitely try and make it out. So good luck with 2020, and I'm sure we'll be hearing lots more from you. All right?
Thank you, Ira. It's always so much of a joy to talk to you, man. I really appreciate your time.
So there you have it, a complete record, if you will, that will fit two sides of a vinyl. Now, that's a great concept in the world of disposable singles. You should, if you can, listen to both back-to-back on January 17th or get the vinyl when it comes out. All of those details are at fruitionband.com. See this band on the road, too, if you can, as often as you can. Before we leave you, have a listen to the album's Gorgeous End, a tune that is one of my favorites in a long time. Here is At the End of the Day.
At the end of the day, in the twilight, when the colors collapse on the skyline, in the day has its last bit of glory. Till the night steals your sight and you're blind, till the morning write your regrets down, throw them away at the end of the day. It begs you to come as you are, the moonlight, the sun and the stars. Take it one at a time, you will find your way at the end of the day. At the end of the day, in the twilight, colors collapse on the skyline. All that you learned from your mother, pass it on for the comfort and welfare of others. Then the child within never leads you astray at the end of the day. I remember the times we were golden. Forget all those nights I was burnt, blind and broken. As the smoke finally clears, only flowers remain at the end of the day. At the end of the day. At the end.
You've been listening to The Sound Podcast. Technical production by Adam Karsh and Andrea Ruse. Inspired by the music we love. For more, visit thesoundpodcast.com.